Anne Mansfield Sullivan had a whole host of folks telling her the seven-year-old brat she was teaching just was not worth it. Forget about her. Give her up. Don't waste your time. But Anne persisted in spite of temper tantrums, physical abuse, mealtime madness, and even thankless parents. In her heart, Anne Mansfield Sullivan knew it was worth it. Within 2 years, the deaf and blind girl was able to read and write in Braille. She ultimately graduated from Radcliffe College. Anne Sullivan would spell every single lecture by touch into the hand of that student. The student became the first deaf-blind person to ever earn the Bachelor of Arts degree. The name of the pupil, I hope you've all heard of, was Helen Keller. If you haven't heard of Helen Keller, go and Google her when you get home. Helen Keller then devoted the rest of her life to deaf and blind people and became a major figure in human history. Now, while most people know the name of Helen Keller, you'd probably find only a handful who know about Anne Mansfield Sullivan. But because she was faithful, because she stuck at it when everyone gave up, because she endured, because she was faithful in love and compassion and patience, we have a Helen Keller. Now, faithfulness is one of the, well, it's number 7 in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And essentially, faithfulness is loyalty. It is stickability. It is allegiance, first of all to God and to his teachings. As we are loyal to God, so we want the teachings, the word of God, to impact and influence the way we live. And of course, that is the normal Christian life. If we claim to love God, the Bible says, but walk in darkness, we lie. We're kidding ourselves. But God is light. So walk in the light. Walk the talk. If you love God, you'll be godly in the way you behave towards other people. Vance Havner was an American preacher, and he's written numerous books. And he said this: God is faithful, and he expects his people to be faithful. God's word speaks of faithful servants, faithful in a few things, faithful in the least, faithful in the Lord, faithful ministers, and all points up to the day when he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What terrible times we have in our churches, trying to keep people faithful in attendance and loyalty. How we reward and picnic and coax and tantalise church members into doing things they don't want to do, but which they would do if they love God. The only service that counts is faithful service. True faith shows up in faithfulness. Not everyone can sing and preach, but all can be faithful. I think Vance Havner hits the nail on the head. Now, this morning we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let's read the list. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, the Bible says, there is no law. Now, if I throw out a question, a bit like quiz, how many fruits of the Spirit did I read? Who's going to answer?
Nine.
Anyone differ on that?
One.
If you look, the word fruit is singular. It doesn't have an S on it. It is singular. And I was a bit rotten there. I set you up, didn't I? I dropped the hook and you bit. See, most people would say 9, but there's not 9. There's only 1. In fact, there's only 1 fruit to the Spirit, love. And that is then demonstrated in different ways. If you love someone, you're joyful with them. If you love someone, you're patient with them. If you love someone, you're good towards them. And so on and so on and so on. So there's only 1 real fruit to the Spirit, and that is love. And everything else is a demonstration of that. I don't know if you remember the drink Five Alive. You can buy it in fizzy form or you can buy it in carton form. And if you've ever had Five Alive, you know it's one drink, but there are five combined flavours. So you have orange, and I think you probably have pineapple and grapefruit. So you've got five flavours making up one drink. And the fruit of the Spirit is like that. It's all about love. But you see different aspects of love lived out. Suppose another metaphor is a bit like a diamond. You hold up a diamond, you turn it that way, and the light shines on it, and you see certain qualities in it. And then you tilt it, and you get a whole new perspective on it, just by slightly moving it. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And you see love in all its fullness, just as you examine these different qualities. Now this morning we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. In fact, all of the fruit of the Spirit is a reflection of God's character. That ought not to surprise us, because the Bible says God is love. And if you just think about those different aspects, God is love. The Bible says God rejoices over us. God is joy. God is peace. He's called the God of peace. God is patient. He is patient and long-suffering towards all of us. God is kind. His kindness to us is evident. God is good. The psalmist could say, I will see the goodness of the Lord. God is meek. Only once did Jesus ever describe his inner character. Only once. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Meek and lowly in heart. And God is self-control. The Bible says he shows his strength. He controls his power to be creative and beneficial. So they're not throwing them at each other. They just dropped a cup in case you're worried. So the fruit of the Spirit is a reflection of God's character. And so is faithfulness. So is faithfulness. God is faithful. He continues to put up with us, despite the fact we often rebel against him and we are constantly falling short of his desires. Now, it's great to have the fruit of the Spirit, but can we kind of live up to them? Can we be all those things we read about? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, consistently. I like the story of the little boy who went down to his chicken hutch and he was just so disappointed with the tiny eggs his chickens had produced. So he ran upstairs into his bedroom. Under the bed he bent down, he pulled out a shoebox. He opened up the lid and inside there was straw. And in the middle of the straw there was a giant ostrich egg. So he lifted it out carefully, he went downstairs, he went back to the chicken hutch, he held it before the chickens and said, guys, you can do better. You can do better. Can we do better? Do you know what? I'm glad that these are not called the characteristics of human effort and good intentions. They're not called the characteristics of good intentions and human effort, because God knows we cannot consistently have them in our lives. We can be good for a while, but then we give up. We can be kind for a while, and then we have it in short bursts, don't we? So it is the fruit of the Spirit. It has to be God in us, working through us, if we're going to consistently be faithful and good and kind. But never forget this, that fruit comes out of life. Fruit comes out of life. See, you can go to a factory and they can package fruit in a tin. You get a tin of pineapples, tin of tomatoes, you get a tin of apples, you get a tin of orange segments, tin of grapefruit. We can package it, but we can't produce it. Apples have to come out off an apple tree. Oranges must come off an orange tree. Fruit comes out of life. And we're not going to produce the fruit of the Spirit unless we have the life of the Spirit within us. And faithfulness has got two means. It's the word faith, stretched. And some versions of the Bible don't have the word faithfulness, they just have the word faith, translated in Galatians 5. Because if you want to be faithful on a consistent basis, then really you need to have faith in God, so that his Spirit can work in you and through you. Now, it might be good to stop for a moment and say, do you have God's Spirit? Well, how do you get it? Well, God gives his Spirit to everyone who believes in Jesus. When a person becomes a Christian, when a person is converted, when a person says, oh God, forgive me, come into my life, change me. He comes into your life, or he comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he gives to all who believe the Spirit of God. That's what changes us. And he's the one who continues to make us new. And you can't earn faith in God. It's a gift. You can't earn salvation. All you do is receive it. You say, God, I've got nothing to bargain with, nothing to offer. It's all of you. And that's what the Bible calls grace. And when someone gives you a gift, you either say, thank you very much, and you take it, or you say, no, thank you. See, my kids are great at receiving gifts. When I say to my kids, cream egg here, would you like it? They almost bite my hand off. Not only did he grab it, but I just hear one word, thanks, Dad. Well, that's two words, isn't it? Thanks, Dad. My kids never say to me, oh, Dad, that's so kind of you. Can I wash your car in return? Shall I go and tidy my room to show how grateful I am? I say, no, 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 it's a gift. As soon as you want to do something, it becomes a reward. And God gives us a gift of salvation. And as soon as you say, well, I'll try and improve my life first, we're trying to earn it, turn it into a reward. It's not a reward. It's a gift. You either say thank you and you accept it, or you say no thank you. And a person is saved by grace through faith, not through good works. They come later. It is the faith in Jesus that makes all the difference. That's why the hymn writer years ago wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace. There's nothing like it. It's a gift of all gifts. And it meets our deepest need. It forgives the past, gives us help in the present, and it gives us hope for the future. Gonna just play a little video clip that just picks up that idea of amazing grace. And it illustrates how different people have experienced it in different ways.
Amazing Grace.
How sweet the sound.
That saved.
An alcoholic.
Failure.
Agnostic.
Partier. Liar.
Drug addict.
A wretch.
Like me.
I once was
broken.
Resentful.
Helpless.
Depressed.
Out of control.
Abandoned.
Selfish.
Self-destructive.
Angry.
Confused.
Just lost.
But now,
I'm sober.
Happy.
Peaceful.
Grateful.
Free.
Alive.
Forgiven.
I'm found.
I was blind.
To God.
To faith.
To love.
Pero ahora, yo veo.
I see that I matter.
I see past my problems.
I see my Savior.
I see grace.
Amazing grace.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears
Fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The word should be shortened, it's faith. When we get faith in God, when we receive his gift of grace, the gift of all gifts, his unspeakable gift, Jesus, he then expects us to be faithful to him. And that's a reminder that the Christian life may start with a prayer and a promise, but it doesn't end there. It is a daily journey, a daily walk with the living Christ, getting to know him better, day by day by day. So, first of all, faithfulness is a reflection of God's character. He is faithful to us, and he wants us to be faithful to him. What is faithfulness? What is faithfulness? Now remember, it's not the fruit of human effort and good intentions. It's the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. I suppose you can be like a mobile phone. A mobile phone has got... When you hold a phone in your hand, you have more technology in your hand than they did to put the first man on the moon. Do you realise that? More technology in your hand than they had to put the first man on the moon. But it is useless if the battery's flat. You can't do anything with it. You can have the most expensive mobile phone in the world, and it is useless if the battery's flat. But you charge it up, and what a useful, what a fruitful, what a fantastic object the mobile phone is. Unless you're speaking and people are Googling and Facebooking. Hey, as a human being, you are fantastic. You've got incredible potential. But only if you've got a charged battery. Only if you've got life. And that life comes from God in us. What is faithfulness? We used to hear, didn't we, couples celebrating silver wedding anniversaries. 25 years. Loving faithfulness. Those seem to be fewer and fewer, sadly, these days. We were in a card shop yesterday. My wife, I don't know what it is, she's like a magnet. She don't need cards, but she came out with 10 cards. Can you believe it? 10 cards, and we're not even buying. She just walked by the card shop. But there was one in there that said this: I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today. And whether I misread that or not, I just thought, well, isn't that sad? I can't promise you tomorrow, but I can promise you today. You know, when I got married 16 years ago, I don't think my wife would have been too impressed if I said, I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. I will love you and honour you today. I can't promise you tomorrow or next week or next month. I don't know if that card is a sign of the times or not. Let me give you another example. What is faithfulness? People used to have jobs for life, didn't they? A lifetime of service working for the same company. And for some reason, at the end of your lifetime service, you've got a clock or a watch. I don't know why. It reminds me of the story of the lady who said to her husband, she just got fed up with him, sitting around looking at the clock, I suppose. She said, when you die, I'm going to have you cremated. And he said, are you? She said, yeah. And I'm going to have all your ashes put into an egg timer. And he said, yeah, why? She said, well, you won't do any work while you're alive, so you might as well do some when you die. But people used to have a job for life. They were faithful in that job. But changing times. Let me give you another example. What is faithfulness? Well, footballers like Ryan Giggs were said to be faithful. Stephen Gerrard, faithful, loyal to one club. And though the temptations come in of big bucks and big monies and maybe even more glory, they said, no, this is my club and I'm sticking to it. And yet now when you turn on the sports every year, transfer window, you think, which one of our team are going? The one who gets the biggest offer. Faithfulness seems to be missing in so many areas of life. What is faithfulness? Well, if you look in the dictionary, you get this illustration or this definition. To follow through with a commitment regardless of difficulties. Now that's good, but it's a bit dull, isn't it? To follow through with a commitment regardless of difficulty. Let me paraphrase it or give you an up-to-date version. Here's my interpretation. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is love hanging on. Faithfulness is love saying, I will not quit. Hey, there's going to be misunderstandings. There's going to be loads of disappointments. There's going to be discouragements, but I will not quit. Because love is hanging on. Love says, I will not quit. I think that is what faithfulness is. In relationships, at a human level, but also in a spiritual level between us and God. How does it apply spiritually? Well, two ways. First of all, faith in Christ. That is believers believing in Jesus. I mentioned most modern Bibles for Galatians chapter 5 has the word faithfulness. Some older translations just have the word faith. And it's the same Greek word, it's just translated in different contexts, slightly different. But faithfulness always starts, according to the Bible, with our commitment to God. What does faithfulness mean? If you had an Inuit Bible, the Bible of what we used to call Eskimos, an Inuit Bible, they had a problem. Because in their language, they didn't have a word for believe. And so when the first missionaries tried to explain, you need to believe in Jesus, have faith in Jesus, didn't make sense. So they watched the people and how they behaved. And they noticed that when there were certain parts where the ice froze over the water. And as it got colder and colder, the Inuit children would go out on the ice and they would start jumping up and down on it. They had to wait until it could hold their weight. Because if they went too early, they went under the water. And it was a very cold and dangerous experience. So they waited until it could hold their weight. And one of the Bible translators says, why have they waited till now? And when they explain, we can't go on the ice until it can hold our weight. He said, that's what it means to believe. To put all of your weight, to put all of your trust on Jesus. Knowing that he will hold you fast. Just on Thursday, I was in Bracknell. And I don't know if it's that way or that way. It's nearby, isn't it? Probably over there. I was in Bracknell and I was walking through at lunchtime. And there were two ladies there. They were Jehovah Witnesses. And as is my nature, I just have to chat to them. They come knocking on my door. So if I get the chance to knock on theirs or speak to them, I love to engage. So I said to the lady, what a shame. What do you mean? I said, well, you're here promoting Jehovah Witnesses when you could be telling folks about Jesus. Oh, well, we're trying to do that. And we got to the heart of the matter. And I said, look, just yesterday, and it's true, on Wednesday, I had a phone call from a friend of mine, Ivor. I said, he's just been told last night he's got cancer of the kidney. I said, now, what is your gospel? What is your message to a man like him who could be facing death in the next few weeks? And she hummed. And she hard, and she showed me all the books she would encourage him to read. I said, but life is short. What is your gospel? What are you offering him? And she hadn't got an answer. And she said, well, what would you say? And I said, well, hold on. I would share what the apostles shared. What did Peter say when the crowd on the very first day, Acts 2, when Peter gave the very first Christian sermon, and the crowd shouted out, what must we do to be saved? Peter, what was his reply? It wasn't complicated. He said, repent. Turn around. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved for the forgiveness of your sins and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What did Paul say when the Philippian jailer realized that his life was falling apart and he said, what must I do to be saved? The Apostle Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the answer. That's the gospel. That's what you say to a dying man or a room full of spiritually dead people. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus 100%. Receive his gift of grace and he gives you life. Faithfulness starts with faith. And then secondly, faithfulness of life. Faithfulness leads on to a life, a relationship with Jesus. The Bible has a lot to say regarding faith. Let me give you a few examples. I don't expect you to turn and check them all out. I'll give you the references and you can listen to the tape afterwards if it's being recorded. Or see me afterwards and I'll give you the references. 1 Corinthians 4, 1-2 says, be faithful in stewardship. Use your money wisely. Ephesians 6, 21, faithful in service. Get involved in the church. Don't just be a passenger. Get involved. 1 Timothy 5, 9, faithful in marriage. What do we say when someone's been playing around? They've been unfaithful. Revelation 2:15, faithful in witnessing. When was the last time you spoke to a Jehovah's Witness in the open air? Or your neighbour? Or your work colleague? Or someone about Jesus? Romans 12:12, faithful in prayer. Colossians 1:7, faithful in ministry. Whatever we do, if you're a lollipop man, if you work in a shop, if you work in a factory or an office, that is your spiritual service to God. That's your ministry, where God has put you. So do it well. Do it for Him. Revelation 17:14, faithful in following the Lord. Proverbs 31:26, faithful in instruction, listening, receiving from what God says through His word. 3 John chapter 3, faithful in truth. Revelation 13:10, faithful in times of persecution. One of our own members came to me Friday night. He said, "You will not believe the day I've had. My boss is just picking on me and picking on me and picking on me." Hang on in there. Don't give back to him abuse. Don't give back to him the way he's treating you. Respond differently because you're different. Persecution for many is the normal Christian life. Revelation 2:10, even faithful unto death. And many of our Christian brothers and sisters over the past few weeks and months are being beheaded and killed for their faith. Now you say, that's a great list, but I couldn't do that. I couldn't do any of them. Here's the secret. There's a principle, and I finish with this. There's a principle that flows through the New Testament. And it's this. Be faithful in the small things, and then you'll be prepared for the big things. Be faithful in the small things, and you'll be prepared for the big things. Where did I get that from? Well, two examples. Matthew 25:21. The Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Luke 16:10. "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." And I think the secret is if we start to be faithful in the little things, that will prepare us. That will set us up so that when the big tests come along, we're able to handle it. So in conclusion, remember the fruit of the Spirit is not called the characteristics of human effort or good intentions. Fruit comes out of life. If we want to be faithful, we must have, first of all, faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Take Him as our Lord and Saviour. And that may start with a prayer and promise, but it doesn't finish there, because this is a daily walk with the Lord, enjoying His presence and allowing Him to produce in us His qualities of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, I've used up my time. Just on the table next to these brilliant booklets that I know you'll all be rushing for is this red one. And it's a simple explanation of what Christians believe. It's called Why Jesus? How do you reach out and take hold of that gift of grace? How do you become a follower of Jesus? What next? Well, they're free of charge. If you want one, I'm sure it'll be a blessing. Do help yourself to one. If you want to take one, pop it in your pocket. And then tomorrow when folks say, "What are you doing over the weekend?" And they say, "You know, we had a great time at church yesterday." Have you ever thought about Jesus? Pass it on to someone. And that could be an opportunity of being faithful in witnessing. So if you'd like one for yourself or to pass on, there are plenty there. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we thank you that you are so good to us in so many ways. Bless these thoughts to us, we pray, Lord. Help us to latch on, to have underlined in our own hearts and minds that which is most applicable for us. We ask it all. In Jesus' name, amen.